This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Can you truthfully say that? That's a passage found in the Old Testament in 118th Psalm, verse 24. Are you rejoicing today? Are you really happy today? I hope that you are. I want you to stay tuned as we discuss this subject, rejoice evermore. Now today on Getting to Know Your Bible, we continue to offer a free Bible course. And I emphasize that it is free, that you might know more about it and how to receive it. Let's take a brief pause.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
The title of the text of our lesson today is one and the same. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, where the Apostle Paul wrote, rejoice, rejoice evermore, rejoice evermore. Now, that's a pretty short passage, and I'd like to challenge you to make that a part of your life this week. Why don't you write that down? Why don't you put it on a 3x5 card and post it around in your home or in your office or put it in your automobile where you can see it when you get in the car? Rejoice evermore. There's a song that we teach children, and normally we sing it during a vacation Bible school, and sometimes we use it at other times. And it's about joy. And it goes something like this: I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Do you have joy down in your heart today? Now, that which people really desire, which they crave, which they long after, is joy or happiness in their lives. But there are so few people that seem to be happy. If you were to get out on a busy street or go to a mall where there's a lot of people going about, and you just began to look at people and be a Just make it a your point of watching how people look, so many sad faces will go by. And of course, you never know the burdens that those people are bearing. And then there's sometimes you'll see a lot of happy faces, and here come some happy-hearted children and laughing, and they're excited. So not everyone is sad, and not everyone is happy. But why should we want to be happy? Well, the Bible says to rejoice evermore. Let me read you another passage or two about rejoicing. One is in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, that's a pretty short passage as well. So that's Philippians 4, verse 4. We're to rejoice in the Lord. We're to rejoice in those things that are found in the Lord. Salvation is found in the Lord. Happiness is found in the Lord. Peace is found in the Lord. Hope is found in the Lord. Heaven is going to be found in the Lord. If we ever go to heaven, it will be because of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. And then there's a statement in the 100th Psalm, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands, serve Him with gladness. So we're to make a joyful noise to the Lord. James chapter 1 and 2 says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Happiness. Someone says, well, how do you become happy? Person says, I'll be happy when I get a job. I'll be happy when my bills are paid. I'll be happy when the children are grown out on their own. I'll be happy when I retire. I'll be happy. You see, all of those things are external, aren't they? Happiness is an inside job. And there will never be the happiness and the joy or rejoicing in your life until you make your peace with the one who is the Prince of Peace and the giver of joy. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. There can be no happiness, no joy without God. I firmly believe that there is within the heart of man a place God designed for him. And when you try to put things into that spot where God belongs, there's a void, there's a vacancy, there's an empty feeling. And I may be speaking to some right now who have an empty feeling. You feel hollow. You feel as though things are just not quite right in your life. And if you're trying to put things into your life that cannot quench your thirst for God, then it's no wonder that happiness and joy are passing you by. Joy comes as a result of certain things. Joy comes as a result of our seeing and seeking and seizing certain blessings that come from God. And apart from that, there is no joy. There is no happiness. There is no peace. You see, in order that we might rejoice evermore, we must believe. We must believe. Believe in the Lord. Believe in God. Believe in everything that they can do in our lives. Let me read a passage to you from 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 8. Whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You see, joy comes because we believe. And believing enables us to see that which is not seen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18, for example, the Paul said, for which cause we faint not. For though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, that is, temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal, that is, they're lasting. And so believing helps us to, or believing rather, enables us to see that which is unseen. Believing also enables us to defend ourselves from the advances of Satan. Ephesians 6:17 says, we take the shield of faith. And it's with that shield of faith that we ward off the darts of Satan himself. And then believing enables us to overcome the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Joy comes as a consequence of having faith, a consequence of believing. And happy people are people who have great faith in God. How great is your faith? Joy comes, and we're able to rejoice when we are saved, because joy comes as a result of being saved. Listen to some passages of Scripture along that line. First of all, in Psalms chapter 21 and verse 1, the king shall joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation, how greatly he shall rejoice. So we rejoice in salvation. And then there is Psalms 35 in verse number 9. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in His salvation. Rejoice in His salvation. And then there is a joy that we can have when we know that the burden of guilt has been lifted. David sinned against God. He committed adultery. He committed murder. But he repented. And he wept over his sin. And there are a number of psalms that are written against the background of David's sin with Bathsheba. One of those is the 51st Psalm. And David began that psalm by saying, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness." He asked for God's mercy. But in the 12th verse he said, "Restore unto me the joy of your salvation." There's joy in knowing the salvation that God gives to us and knowing that we are saved. You see, the unsaved people have no reason to rejoice. Saved people have every reason to rejoice. In the 16th chapter of Acts, when Paul and Silas were in prison, and there was an earthquake, and there was the encounter with the man that we call sometimes the Philippian jailer. He was a jailer. He was from Philippi, hence the Philippian jailer. And the man asked the question, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved in your house." And the man had to be taught to become a believer. And then we read that he was baptized the same hour of the night. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 16, and in verse number 34, when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and he rejoiced. Well, why was that man rejoicing? Because now he was saved. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And so the man was taught to become a believer in Jesus, and the man was taught to be baptized, and he and his household were baptized the same hour of the night. They didn't put it off for 2 or 3 weeks. They didn't put it off to another great spiritual meeting that they might have, a revival meeting. They did it the same hour of the night. For instance, there is no example in all of the New Testament where anyone who heard the gospel did put it off, except in Acts 24 and Acts 26. And that was Agrippa and Felix. Others would hear one sermon, one time, and they obeyed the gospel. And so they rejoiced because they were saved. Saved people have reason to rejoice. In Psalms 132 and verse 9, "Let your saints shout for joy." We've got every reason to have hearts that are filled with joy. So joy, we can rejoice because we believe. We can rejoice because we're saved. Then we rejoice when we teach other people what they should do. In Psalms 126, verses 5 and 6, "They that sow in tears shall reap with joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." There's a song that we used to sing when I was just a child. I remember hearing it in services. I don't know when I've heard this song, "Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall go rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves." But you can't bring sheaves in until you've sown the seed. And when the seed germinates and brings forth fruit in an individual's heart, and they give their lives to Jesus Christ, this is what he's talking about. That's one of the greatest joys there is. That to know that you've led an individual to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you never experienced it, let me encourage you to experience it by becoming a teacher of other people. Teach someone the gospel of Jesus Christ. Teach them to believe on Jesus. Teach them to repent of their sins. Teach them to confess faith in Christ. Teach them to be baptized. Teach them to live a faithful, dedicated Christian life. Teach them to be active in the Lord's church. Teach them. There's no greater joy than teaching an individual the truth of God. And then we can rejoice evermore when we learn where our name is. Well, where's your name? Some have their names on honor roll. Occasionally I'll see a bumper sticker, and there's a proud parent displaying a sticker that says, "My child is on the honor roll." Well, isn't that a wonderful thing? Some have their names on other kinds of rolls. Church rolls, let me tell you, just having your name on a church roll doesn't mean you're going to heaven, does it? A person could have their name on a church roll, in a church directory, maybe even have your picture in it. But my friend, that doesn't mean that you're on your way to heaven. We need to have our names in heaven. Jesus sent the 70 out on what we call a limited commission. It was limited in that they only went to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then later they came back and they were rejoicing because the devils were subject to them. And Jesus said, "You don't need to get excited over that." Here's what Jesus said to them: "Rejoice. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven." You see, it's reason to rejoice when we know that our name is there. And it's important that our names be there. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, the Bible says, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So I want to know whether or not my name is in that God's book of life. I want to know if it's written in heaven. And God doesn't make mistakes, because according to Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, the Lord knows those that are His. He knows who belongs to Him. And a God who has the very hairs of your head numbered surely knows all of those that belong to Him. See, we need our name written in heaven. Someone says, "Well, I think if you just think it is, it's there." No. There's a way that seems right to a man, the ends thereof, the ways of death. Someone says, "Well, you know, my ancestors had their names written, and my grandfather was a gospel preacher. My great-grandfather was a gospel preacher." Well, that's a wonderful thing that your grandfather and your great-grandfather were gospel preachers and they preached the truth of God. But does that mean that your name is written in heaven? Absolutely not. In John 8:32, Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And these people said, "You're telling us we're Abraham's seed, and you're telling us we'll be made free. We've never been in bondage to anyone." You see, they thought that because they had Abraham as an ancestor, they had it made. And you may think you have it made because your ancestors had their names written in the book of life. But my friend, you must have yours there. Somebody says, "Well, I think, Brother Lambert, if you just believe in Jesus, your name is written in heaven." Now let me ask you, where did you read that in the Bible? Where did you read it in the Bible? There are two reasons I cannot accept that as being truth. One reason is the Bible nowhere says that. And secondly, the Bible says that's not true. In James, the second chapter, the Bible says, "You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." Is faith important in the plan of salvation? Absolutely. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Jesus in John 8:24 said, "Except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins." But He didn't say that's all you have to do. Because Jesus said, "I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." And we must be willing to confess that we believe in Him, according to Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And we have an example of a man doing just that in Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, when he asked, "Here's water, why can't I be baptized?" And he was told, "If you believe, you can." He said, "I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And as a penitent, confessing believer, he was baptized. They went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Why did he baptize him? As a believer. He believed in Jesus. Why be baptized? Because Jesus said, "He that believeth one is baptized two shall be saved number three." Friends, that's just as simple as 1, 2, 3, isn't it? And I know there are preachers that preach to the contrary, but friends, my soul is at stake if I don't tell you what this book says. And the Bible teaches that it's more important to obey God than it is to obey a man. And I'm to please God, not to please men, Galatians 1, verse 10. And so I want to please my Father in heaven. I want to please Jesus, my Savior. And I would not be your friend if I did not tell you that you have to believe in Jesus and to be baptized to be saved. But that's not the end of the story. When you're baptized into Christ, you become a new creature in Jesus Christ. You're born of the water and the Spirit, John 3:5. Then you're in the kingdom of God. You're in the body of Christ, the family of God. You meet with the family on the Lord's Day when they come together to worship God in spirit and in truth. You become involved in the work of the family. You become involved in the work of the church. Be an active, involved member. Don't just be a pew sitter. Someone called them a pew potato. You've heard of couch potatoes. Well, they're pew potatoes. People in the church that just won't sit on a pew. Don't be content with that. Be involved in the work of the church. Yes, this is a life of rejoicing, a happy life. And it's a result of knowing that we're saved and our name is in heaven. And there's joy at knowing that we're in the kingdom of God. In His kingdom. In His body, in His church. In Romans 14 and verse 17, we learn that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Now, that's physical stuff, isn't it? The kingdom of God is not physical. But what does it consist? Well, notice what he says. It consists of righteousness and peace and joy. Joy. You see, when we're in the kingdom, we've got... We're living a life of righteousness. And because we live that life of righteousness, we have peace. And because we have peace, we have joy. Oh, isn't that a wonderful life to live in the kingdom? And if you've never been born again of the water and the Spirit, John 3:5, let me encourage you to do that. In Galatians, the 3rd chapter, 26 and 27, there's a divine commentary on John 3:5. We're all the children of God. That's what we're talking about, being born again, you see, becoming children of God in the family of God. We're all children of God. How? By faith, where? In Christ Jesus. Well, if we're born again, if we're children of God by faith in Christ, Paul, tell us, please tell us, pray, tell us, how do I get into Jesus? Verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ did put on Christ. Oh, there it is, friend. Believe and be baptized. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you've never done that, let us help you. Call us. Get in contact with us. Email us. Write us. Call us. Just let us know how we can help you find some servant of God that would baptize you into Jesus Christ. I recently met a fine couple in Canada. And they listened to the television program for a long time. They took our Bible courses, as a matter of fact, two of them. And they called the church after having studied on their own with this, the aid of the Bible course. And they told the minister, we would like to be baptized for the remission of our sins. And I saw that couple recently. And the man hugged me. And he said, I want to thank you for teaching me the gospel. Don't thank Jesus for making the salvation possible through the gospel. Oh, we need to get the message out to the world today. We want people to live a life of rejoicing. Rejoice evermore. That's our text. And then we can live a life of rejoicing if we'll remain faithful to Jesus. That's why I said earlier, it's not enough just to be baptized. You've got to remain faithful. And how can you remain faithful if you don't serve the Lord on the Lord's Day? If you don't meet around the Lord's table and partake of the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day to commemorate His death, His suffering on the cross? How can we say that I'm faithful if I'm not there present when the family comes together to worship God in spirit and in truth? We're not talking about going through some ritual, some form. We're talking about people who are hungry for God and people who love God, who come together to worship God because of their love and appreciation for Him. Oh, be faithful to the Lord. In Matthew 25 and verse 21, Jesus said, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we're going to hear on the day of judgment. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. You see, we must be faithful. Joy comes as a consequence of being faithful. Now, faithfulness may bring hard times. It may bring persecution. It did to some early Christians. It brought persecution. But they were told to endure that persecution because joy would come in the morning. You see, the end result would be better than what they were enduring at the time. Then also, joy comes as a consequence of our hope and as a result of our hope in the promises of God. You see, we can rejoice in hope. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. Well, what's our hope? What is our hope? I remember asking a man one time, if he was saved, and it went something like this. He said, oh, well, I hope so. Hope so. That's not hope. That's doubt. Hope is the expectation of the realization of the promised reward at the end. Paul lived and died in hope. And he said, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all of them that love his appearing. Friend, remember this. Rejoice evermore. I want to thank you for watching today, and until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
We want to help you as much as possible in your search for a personal relationship with God. You can now easily access our free Bible correspondence course online at gettingtoknowyourbible.org. If there's any way we can help you grow closer to God, please email us at knowyourbible@golftel.com or call us anytime at 1-877-711-5214. Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.